When I was an Army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and I answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you're alive. Let's get started. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and he may warn them so that they will not come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abram, but if somebody goes there from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. I can imagine Jesus hanging out with his friends. We know that Jesus did have friends that were his disciples, but were a little different than his peripatetic disciples, his wandering disciples that he went from village to village with. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus seem to be rooted in one place. And they are Jesus' friends. He visits them a number of times. And certainly they are learning from him. The scene with Mary and Martha, of course, where Mary is a disciple listening at Jesus' feet. Martha is upset. I can imagine them sitting around having a good time one night, and Lazarus looks at Jesus and he says, "Hey, Jesus, your parables have been just like hitting. They're amazing. You're doing a great job." Some of those are just bangers, you know. "Hey, would you ever like put me in one of them? Would you ever put me in one of your parables?" And Jesus is like, yeah, sure, I can do that. You know, you're my friend. "There once was a poor man named Lazarus, covered in sores, and he was hungry, and the dogs would come and lick his sores, and then he died." Whoa, Jesus, wait a second, I don't want to be that guy. That's my little joke. I don't know if that's true. Don't believe it. But there's some relationship between this character Lazarus and the character in this story. Or they just have the same name. You can decide, can't you? This is, when you study the Bible, you have to sort of make these decisions of how far you'll run with something you can't really prove. Luke has this character, Lazarus, in Jesus' story. Luke, as far as I know, only mentions this Lazarus. Luke never talks about Lazarus, the friend of Jesus. That is mostly in the Gospel of John. He appears. It is a name that probably a lot of people had, so it's not that crazy that he would have a parable and a friend with the same name, just as there's many Marys and a number of other people with the same name. But the other part of this that I wonder, and others have wondered, is the strange family of Lazarus. Lazarus lives with his sisters, Mary and Martha, or Martha and Mary. Martha is in charge of the family. Lazarus is a man and would have certain rights and privileges in the patriarchal system, but Martha is clearly in charge. And I don't know. He dies. He gets sick and dies. It means he's not as healthy as Mary and Martha are. And some have speculated that perhaps Lazarus lives with his sisters and doesn't marry, as far as we know, because he is disabled in some way, whether cognitively disabled or disabled physically in some way that causes his early death. It is hard to know, but he seems to have been being taken care of by Mary and Martha in a way that other characters in the Bible don't seem to have that same scenario. And so maybe Jesus is imagining who Lazarus would be without his sisters. Lazarus would be the man covered with sores at the gate. When I worked as a hospital chaplain in downtown Austin, I would often get calls to visit with people in the emergency room and people that were experiencing homelessness. And many of them were being treated for pretty much medieval diseases, lacerations and sores that wouldn't go away. When you live outdoors and with hygiene as it is in those scenarios and other environmental factors, small wounds can become big and there can be infections and lack of healing. And a lot of factors contribute to that. And I'm not a doctor, but I was always astounded by how in some ways minor some of the injuries and things that they were being treated for were compared to the things that people that live indoors seem to have. But Lazarus has this. He's covered in sores. He's unable to move from the gate of this rich man. And the rich man goes about his business. And they both die. And they go to this place, Abram's bosom. And there's a great gulf fixed between them. Whether the gulf is like way high to low, or it's like a Grand Canyon kind of situation where they can see each other from afar off. But they have this congregation or conversation, and it is the rich man, who is no longer rich, calling out to Father Abraham and to Lazarus. Father Abraham, send Lazarus to bring some water to dip and dip it on my tongue, just a drop of water on my tongue to cool my tongue, for I'm suffering in this flame. The irony of this should not be lost on us, as it would not be lost on Jesus' hearers. Send me Lazarus, he says, as if he could command Lazarus in the afterlife. This is the problem of being rich, is that we think that we get to boss people around even after we're dead. The pharaohs built their tombs. The rich build their mausoleums. They have their foundations with their legacies and monuments and theaters and all the things that they've done, but ultimately they can't order anybody around in the afterlife. That is not something that extends. And Jesus makes that very clear here. And Abraham makes it clear too, and he says, nope, there's a chasm fixed between us. You can't do that. The kind of monetary power that you wield in this life is no longer able to be wielded. That is why when we have extra, we give it away. That's the point of money, is to build relationships with people, to build community, to build the things that will make everyone's life better, because happiness happens through other people. There has to be a shared happiness for it to be real happiness. Everybody's known this for a long time, and yet why do we think of happiness as being something that only we can have? That's the lie of happiness. It's the lie of money, that if I have enough and I have extra, then I can be content. But ultimately, we're only happy when everybody's happy. And that's what the rich man has missed. And then he wants to warn his five brothers because they're rich too. And unfortunately, the transaction doesn't work that way. Chief Justice Rehnquist, before his death, said that in our youth, we trade our time for money. And then when we're older, we try to reverse that transaction. And it's one that the exchange rate cannot hold. We ultimately have so much time. And so when we have extra, we give it away. And we do that with our lives as well. It is something that Jesus does by living as a poor person on this planet. If you want to know what Jesus was like, don't look at rich people to find that out. Look at poor people, people who depend on others, people who live paycheck to paycheck, people that live meal to meal. Poverty in America is a complex thing, just as it always has been in this time or any time. It's not something we can wave a magic wand at and say, now it's all better. But poverty should be a thing that we think about as Christians a lot. It should be a thing that we do our best to try to fix and change. Always acknowledging that ultimately we do it because Jesus has called us to be with the poor. Jesus has called us to be in community with them. The problem of the rich man and Lazarus is not that the rich man is rich and Lazarus is poor. The problem is that the rich man can't see Lazarus as anything more than a nuisance. And then when he's dead and needs something from Lazarus, he can only see him as a messenger, as a servant. To see all human beings the way God sees us is ultimately what Jesus has called us to do. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. When he is crucified, he is in solidarity with all the sufferings of humanity, including the suffering that you experience today, including the suffering of the world, the suffering of the poor. There is no one outside of his embrace. He is embracing us all. And so when we huddle into that embrace and we get close to the cross and we snuggle in against his broken and brutalized body, and we get close to him, he embraces us, even as his hands are pinned down by the nails of his cross. And we experience that love. And everybody experiences that love of Jesus because he is truly, truly one of us. And then he rises from the dead. And nobody believes him, except for the ones who do. And it's not that many. And it never has been. The sadness of this parable is that even if somebody rises from the dead, they don't get it. But you do, and you're here today because you do get that. And so when we go out from here into our world, we think of the poor. We think of those who are in need. We think of those who sit at our gates. And we think of Jesus, who sits there with them, covered in his wounds, showing us the way to real life, a life of giving, a life of sacrifice, a life of emptying ourselves of everything that holds us back, including our wealth sometimes. Amen. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace, that we, running to obtain your promises, may be partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.